Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. Everyone, welcome to episode 107 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today we are revisiting but expanding on a topic that we've touched on a few times, which is about being how to still be yourself in a relationship. And we want to include in this constant communication, why we don't think it's a good idea. And this is regardless of your relationship status. I think it happens in whether you're living together or you're still apart, you know, you're still separated by distance. The technology's really come so far now that we genuinely see people who have, whose phone logs show they've had 20, 30, 40 hour calls. So they're leaving that running while they're sleeping. They're spending, all the time with that communication. And that's a very new thing.
Yeah. I would just like to note, if you can hear bird noises, there is a nest in our eaves above our study where we do recording, but we'll try and edit out as much as we can, but I don't think there's much we can do.
It's atmospheric.
Yeah, it's baby birds being born. It's lovely. Sorry.
Yeah, so main thing is that we'll be talking about is the issue that a lot of people have. You get into a relationship through the excitement and enjoyment of the other person. You want to spend all your time together, the so-called honeymoon period, and that's okay, but there comes a point when some couples continue that or they don't know how to still be just their own individual anymore. There is that problem where some feel like they're forced to change by their partner, and we won't really touch on that today. I think that's a separate issue. That's more of a counselling toxic relationship type issue. This is more just about, you don't have to give up your identity just because you're in a relationship. You don't have to like everything your partner does, and your partner doesn't have to like everything you do. And aside from what you do and don't have to, it's also important that you continue to grow yourself and be happy yourself with what you're doing.
Yeah, and just on that note, we do have an episode about having common interests, which is really good. I know we're not going to dive into this today about kind of you and your partner don't have to like all the same things, but there should be a mutual kind of support in the things that you do like and trying things. But that's just a different note. What was interesting is how you kind of came to this idea.
Yeah, I was just about to say, the background for this episode was, so it was a conversation I was having recently with someone who was talking about, this is in the context of the pandemic and everything being, all the conversations now being Zoom, Skype and everything. So the conversation was they really wanted to limit their kids' screen time, like they're on their phones a lot, but they said they're using it to communicate with their friends and they need that so they can't reduce how, they can't give them a limit or whatever.
Because they can't go play with their friends now.
Yeah. So my response to that was, this is a very new thing. So when we were growing up, this may be quite a learning for our particularly younger listeners. But when we were growing up and at school, we saw our friends pretty much every day at school. If we had arranged to see them outside of school, whatever, then we'd see them then too. But if one of those kids was on vacation or they were sick, you didn't see them that day. If they were on vacation, they'd be gone for 2 weeks. You may not see them at all over the Christmas period. Yeah, we didn't have phone. We had phones to ring people, and that was kind of weird because it would always be their parents who answered, and you'd be like, is so-and-so around?
Well, and even then, you didn't really call to talk to your friends just to talk until you were older.
Yeah. It was very common to not see your friends for days, and equally to not talk to them. You'd see them at school, but then you're in class, you'd see a bit of break and stuff. So it's a very recent thing that you have to talk to each other all the time, relationships or not. So the conversation here was with the parent, and it's, they've got the means to talk to their friends now on their phones, and they can do that every day. But that doesn't mean they need unlimited screen time to do that, because that's not how we, typically communicate. It's a very new phenomenon that anyone has that level of communicative access, short of living with someone.
Yeah.
So that just kind of led into today's topic, where that the same thing applies in a relationship. And we've had a lot of people message us about this, and we've touched on episodes where it's, you know, people struggle if they send a message and they don't get an instant response. Where are they? What are they doing? Well, they could be doing anything. They, you know, pre-pandemic, they could have been in the cinema. They could have been just, you know, I've deliberately started leaving my phone at home more now. We'll go on walks. My phone stays at home. I don't need it. It could just be that they're trying not to look at their phone. It could be that it's in do not disturb mode and notifications aren't coming through. They could be any number of places, but your mind immediately jumps to, oh my God, they're ignoring me. Why are they ignoring me? And again, it's a very new thing, and you know, there's good and bad to it. Whether or not the good outweighs the bad, or the bad outweighs the good, I don't know. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that there is the bad, and if you notice that it's fostering additional anxieties and negative emotions in you, you know, the sensible thing to do is to say, okay, I've seen this, and I need to take steps to stop it. You remember,
put some boundaries in place.
Yeah, wean yourself off how much you're on it, set different expectations. Like, if I don't get a reply within a few hours, or you just talk to them, just say, hey, you know, what's typical time for you to reply? Like, at what point should I start to worry? Because people are busy.
Yeah, and I want to comment as well, like, from our perspective, I mean, we've talked a lot about how there weren't as many ways to communicate digitally 10 years ago when we were long distance. This is before WhatsApp, it's before iMessage, Skype was around.
It was before the iPhone.
No. I had an iPhone when we started. Well, not the very first time. Yeah. So when we were first talking, like, more than 10 years ago, like, what was it, 14, 15 years ago, when we were first really, you know, communicating constantly. Well, even going further back, when we were first communicating, the only way was if we were both online on MSN, or both in our, like, chat room from the forums or whatever. Like, we both had to be sitting in front of our computer, which was not a laptop, or even if it was, you know, it was, you know, chunky, and you didn't just take it around. Wi-Fi wasn't a thing in, like, external places. So it was definitely...
We didn't have high-speed internet.
I think we didn't. That was cable.
We had, like...
We weren't on dial-up at that point.
Yeah, but even when broadband came along, the speeds weren't like it is now.
Yeah.
It was just a whole different thing, which meant even if you were just having dinner, you couldn't reply. And this is something I slip up occasionally, but generally speaking, I still have that rule. If I'm eating, I don't check my phone.
Yeah.
And do you know the one that really grosses me out, and I don't understand it? Women won't see this. You go into the men's toilets, and there'll be guys at the urinals, and they'll have their phone in their hand while they're peeing. And I'm like, what the fuck is so important that you can't wait 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And I've seen a couple of guys two-handed holding their phone. And it's like, yeah, it's just weird. I just think you need some boundaries here. But yeah, so when we were talking,
yeah,
if your parents called you to have a conversation, you know, you didn't have a device where you could even reply.
Yeah, but I remember, so yeah, we went through a couple kind of stages. Like, when we were first talking, literally just being, you know, at our desks in our room, you know, with a laptop or whatever, computer. And then a couple of years later, when we were talking a lot again, it wasn't far off that. I mean, it was pretty much the same. And then 10 years ago, when we kind of started up to where we, you know, the same kind of leg of our relationship that's brought us to where we are now, we did have, like, smartphones. I had an iPhone. You would have had some sort of Nokia smartphone.
Yeah.
And we could email. We literally emailed each other. And this is because we were international. I'm sure if we'd been local, if we'd been on the same, you know, mobile network, yeah, we could have texted for free. But, like, texting cost a lot of money at the time. Yeah, where
this was before iMessage and WhatsApp, there weren't any,
like, options. Chatting, except for Skype. But, like, Skype didn't really, like, you could be logged in on your phone, but, like, it wouldn't always keep you logged in. So you wouldn't get notifications very well. So email was it. And even that was slow.
This isn't a back in our day, everything was better kind of thing.
No,
this
is just purely
to context.
Yeah, but it is relevant to this. Like,
yeah.
I remember, you know, waiting for, you know, my phone always going, dong, you know, the iPhone email notification. And, you know, always being on my phone, be out to dinner with my parents, and, like, not the whole way through, but if my phone went, or if I wanted to say a reply, you know, I'd have my phone and I'd be emailing him back. And my dad would just say, like, just put it down, for God's sake. Like, obviously he's from a very different generation. You know, they did not use computers in school, like, a very different perspective on all this. And he's like, you just shouldn't be able to get a hold of each other all the time. Like, just relax, you know? And I think that's unique to the long distance experience. Like, I know that people are, you know, people that are in a local relationship, like not living together, but living in the same town or even only half an hour away from each other, probably aren't doing this to the same extent. I mean, of course you're chatting, of course you're sending snaps or whatever, but when you're in a long distance relationship, it's literally all you have to be in constant communication. So whereas, you know, on a Monday, you spent the whole weekend with your partner, maybe stay at their place, and now you're back at yours, you're going to work or whatever, like, you message them in the morning, like, you know, had a great weekend, morning beautiful, whatever, like, see you tomorrow night. And yeah, you might chat in the evening, but it's not like this constant. I mean, the way I looked at it when we were emailing back and forth, you know, there'd be an entire string of emails that were just, because it was stretched out over the course of a day with time difference, like, we'd be talking about the same thing all day.
Mm.
And it's all you have. So it's natural to want to, you know, throw yourself into that and be in these conversations. But at the same time, it can be a little bit damaging, because what happens when, like, I remember not very long after we had started talking again and things were quite getting kind of serious, and you had your uni graduation and you were going for a couple nights to go see your friends and stuff. And like, I think your ex was going to be there, and you told me about it. Like, look, the signal, because the like Wi-Fi wasn't everywhere. Like, 3G was still new, and the town that he was going to was like this medieval city where
everything, I mean, even was, now, it's not,
it's
great.
Not great. Yeah. There's a lot of dead spots. It's like all the buildings have lead roofs. So like, there's like, the signal's just shit. So it was like, I did not hear from him for 3 or 4 days while he went into his graduation. And I had to, like, you know, okay, his ex is going to be there, but I trust him. Like, his family's going to be there too. Like, it's his graduation. Like, I had to really prepare myself, and I had family coming. I think it was like over Thanksgiving. So it was like, I had to like find things to distract myself. And actually when he came back, it was really nice to have had that time not talking and do my own things, even though I was nervous and missed him and it was really weird not be able to contact him. So you need to make sure that you have a life of your own, so that when, for whatever reason, if they go backpacking in the Sierras, or, you know, they're going to be on an 18-hour flight to Australia and you can't contact them, though, you know, the planes don't all have Wi-Fi still. Like, you need to be able to cope.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you never think about it in the moment, but if you take a step back and think, you know, what's the outcome of this? Like, really, you're creating a dependency here on each other, them on you, you on them. And if you do it long enough with anything, like, you do something long enough, when it's no longer there, you think, what did I used to do?
Mm.
You know, you just completely forget how to operate without that new habit. And so you don't want that dependency. That's not going to go anywhere good. You know, one is never the foundation of a strong, healthy relationship. Two, dependency is a sign of, well, it's not necessarily a sign, but it can certainly be like a symptom of a relationship that's not going to go the distance. You know, it's just, it's not something you should willingly pursue. And that, by extension, that includes not deliberately, you know, having behaviours that you know are very likely to get there.
Yeah. So it's something you almost have to, like, battle against yourself to not fall into the trap. And I think it's also really difficult if your partner isn't as worried, and, like, seeming to be having a hard time not being able to talk and stuff like that. There's usually one person in the relationship that's a little bit more insecure and dependent, and that was me, you know. It's like, not shaming anyone. Like, I've been there. I was that person, and if for any reason we have to be apart again, I'll probably be that person again. And there's someone else who's a little bit more secure, relaxed about it, and that was rich in our relationship, who's like, okay, well, if you're busy, you're busy. Like, I'm gonna do this. Like, I remember there was one night I was teaching, and I had to do, like, parent-teacher conferences, so we couldn't talk that night. And I was, like, really bummed about it. And you're like, well, at least you're doing something different tonight. And I was like, what the fuck's that supposed to mean? Like, we're so boring to talk to each other all the time. And, like, really overthought it. So you can see what it can do, and like the habits it can put in place to always be talking.
Yeah, but the other thing for me is, I don't know, this is something I've said before, if you think about the kind of person you want to be with, someone who's, you know, in a relationship where we've just fostered that dependency and all you do is talk to each other, and that becomes all you kind of know, very quickly you become uninteresting to everyone. Everyone else in your life, but also your partner, because at some point they're going to say, well, you know, they didn't fall in love with someone who only talks about them or only talks to them. You know, you have to have other interests. And equally, you know, you made a good point before. It's important also to give each other time to miss each other. We rarely get that now, especially we're like, you know, here 24/7 now. But we have had it. You know, you've gone back to America a couple of times. You went and stayed with a friend overnight recently. Like, it does...
Recently.
Well...
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, in the recent past. Yeah, but it does... it changes things. Having the opportunity to miss each other and have that time alone, I think, oh, yeah, you know, it's just different in a really positive way. You know, you get a little bit extra appreciation. You want to see them. You have something else to talk about. If you just spend all your time communicating, and particularly phone calls, and if you're doing these 20, 30, 40 hour marathon FaceTimes, I just don't see anything good coming from that. And, you know, if you do it once or twice, then I'm not saying it's going to be the death knell for the relationship. But
what if it's the expectation?
What do you mean?
That, like, I know when you first start talking and you have a lot to talk about, you're getting to know each other, especially if you've met in an online capacity, or maybe you met, like, a lot of long-distance relationships happen because people meet on vacation, you know, they're at the same resort or whatever, and then, you know, they go back to their respective homes. And at first, you know... when you're getting to know someone and you don't have dates, like, you know, when you're first dating someone that you really like, you might be going out 2 times a week, 3 times a week, you know, and you're compressing all that time into dates. But when you don't have that framework of a date, you're just talking all the time. So if you are doing these, like, 24-hour chat sessions, like, is that setting up the expectation that you have to always constantly be in contact in this relationship? And how is that sustainable?
Mm. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, because then if one person starts to expect it and the other person's like, look, you know, like, while we're getting to know each other, I've really enjoyed it. But, like, you know, I am abandoning my friends. Like, I still want to be talking to you. I still want to be in this relationship, but I need some more time.
Yeah, there's a few good things in there, actually. You know, one, do you want to be with someone who just drops everything else, who has nothing else in their life other than you because they're so willing to, you know, not see friends and family and do anything else? And the other one, yeah, the expectations. I mean, that's not what life's going to be. Like, this is something, you know, so in our ultimate guide, we put a whole section to closing the distance and life after the distance, because it was a bit of a shock to us how things change when you live together. You know, and if you're long distance and having, like I said, setting those expectations of those kind of conversations and that much time together, it's going to be a big shock if you close the distance and live together, because life's not going to be that way. And even if you spend, you know, yeah, in your mind, and when you romanticize things, you might say, oh, we'll be together all the time. Yeah, you will be, but that also means you're going to be pissing each other off. You're going to have chores to do. You're going to have friction.
You're going to have life decisions to make.
Yeah, you won't be spending all that time gazing into each other's eyes, talking about, you know, all the good stuff. Yeah, you'll have that, but it by no means will be everything.
Well, and, like, that's something that I really had to adjust to. Like, do you remember the first year at least of our relationship after we met in person, it was like, oh, I just want to go back to that summer. Like, I came to England and spent a month, you know, I was teaching, so I was on my summer break. I had no work to worry about. Rich was freelancing, so he hardly did any work while I was there, like, made it all about us. And it was a month of vacation and that honeymoon period. And then I came back at Christmas and we had that again for, like, a couple weeks, and then he came back with me, and then suddenly it's like, you're living in my house with my family and I have to go to work and you're working and we only have the evenings and the weekends, and oh, this isn't the same. Like, it was wonderful, don't get me wrong.
You don't only see the best of each other.
You have responsibilities and
the stress, you're not feeling very well, you're tired, you're kind of edgy, you know, maybe you're hormonal. Like, there's any number of things that come into the equation. And, you know, yeah, you can say, well, we'll do all this now while we can. And like, there's truth to that. And there's, you know, there's a big, big difference between doing something every now and then and doing it all the time. And we can't really say about individual circumstances. You know, you'll know whether or not you're doing this and it's the occasional treat that you do and you enjoy it, and you know, that's fine. But what we're really talking about is if you try and do this as much as possible, and you struggle when they're not available online, you struggle when they're not replying to you, you struggle if you can't have these, you know, day or weekend long calls, none of that's setting you up for success. And if you're struggling, then maybe that's indicative of an issue that needs to be worked through, like a dependency issue.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's all you have to think about this too, and not from like a being negative or, you know, looking for the downside of things, especially if you're in a long distance relationship. They don't always have the best success rate, you know, and not because people don't love each other, but circumstances can make it impossible to close the distance, and you can't sustain a long distance relationship forever. I mean, there's married couples who are in the military and stuff, but even that isn't forever. You know, what's it called when you get like sent away on the military, like on a mission?
Deployed,
yeah. Like deployments might last even a couple years sometimes, but like there's always an end in sight. You know, like you're married, you might have children together, you know, your partner lives on base, they're waiting for you to come back. Like the objective is never to keep doing this forever. So if it's looking like you can't, for whatever reason, close the distance, like it's really hard to maintain. So if you've made your entire life about this person because you're trying to figure out a way to be together and it doesn't work out, what are you left with? You know, you've poured everything you have and everything you are into this relationship. You might have abandoned friendships and family, you know, members and stuff, or neglected them. And then suddenly you're left with, like, you don't have your hobbies anymore. Like, you've put all of your spare time in, like, you might only have a job or school left. Like, you need to think about long-term your own self, what you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do make it and you close the distance, then you also need to think about that. Like, you know, especially if you're the one moving, like from my perspective, like everyone's different. Like it depends how much time you spend in each other's town or whatever. Like you might have friends already where you're moving, but if you're like me and you don't, like literally you're moving to this place because you know that one person that's going to be your partner, you need to have your own interests and your hobbies, and whether that's, you know, just to keep yourself entertained or busy while you're still getting settled when you first move there, or so you can join clubs, so you can meet people with common interests. Like, don't just only be the girlfriend or boyfriend in this relationship. You should still be, you know, a painter. You should still be a writer. You should still be into soccer. Like, whatever it is. Like, still be yourself. And this is something that Rich says a lot when we talk about, when we touch on subjects like these. Your partner fell for you because they like who you are and the things that you do. You know, they might really like that you're obsessed with obscure ninja history. They might like that you are a prolific reader. They might like that you are really good at tennis. Like, don't stop doing those things just because you get in a relationship. Like,
your relationship shouldn't become your identity.
No, of course, at the beginning, it's going to become a huge part of that while you're getting to know each other, and you should be putting a lot of energy into your relationship. But, you know, you still got to live your life. You, like, I've said it before, you know, a relationship isn't one life. It's two lives coming together to make a greater, bigger life.
Yeah, this is what we always say about, we disagree with that statement that your partner completes you or you complete each other. We say you should complement each other,
mm-hmm.
because you should be, you know, you should be complete anyway, or your goal as an individual is to work on becoming the complete version of you. So you can become a complete couple, you know, because... You know, I get the saying, it's a sweet, romantic kind of saying, but really, no one else can complete you. And if you go down that path of thinking they do, then you are basically becoming, you know, you're setting up a dependency on someone else. Like, I need you. Like, that shouldn't, you should never operate in a way that you willingly say you need someone, you know.
Well, I mean, we all need people at times. Like,
yes, we need people at times. You don't want to be alone, but to say I need this specific person for me to feel complete is it's not optimal. That's not to say, like, it's not devastating if they are no longer in your life. Of course they are. But you know, we just prefer to say that we complement each other, that, you know, the things in you enhance things in me and vice versa. And, you know, it's just, I think it's a more positive approach to it, and it's going to maintain you being you. You know, you are your own person. When you become a relation, or when you enter a relationship with someone, you don't become one weird, gloopy person. You know, you're still two people, and you're uniting as two people. So, I think there's a very important distinction there. Like, it's important to still be you. Like, I like seeing you enjoying yourself and having hobbies and interests and being excited about something. You know, like, you know, we met on a artistic forum, you know, and your artistic outlets with photography and poetry, and I enjoyed seeing, you know, what you created. And then when you have a period of time when you're not doing it, I don't always think about it, but every now and then I say, like, oh, you know, I might mention it to you, you've not done this in a while. And because to me, that's a big part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see you become someone who just, your whole thing is me. You know, I want to still see you as you and the person that I first got to know. And I think that's probably true for most people.
And finding new interests, too, is a great thing. I mean, I've recently lost my husband to leatherworking.
It is your own fault.
It is. I regret it. No, I don't. Like, we had this conversation ages ago. We went out for a walk with the dogs one night, and just kind of a fun, like, question, random question that came to my head was, like, what do you think your job would be if you had lived in, like, ancient or medieval, like, times, or, you know, like, whatever, antique times?
Antique times?
Is that
an era?
Well, I just meant, like, olden times, you know, any time, like, before whatever, the 1900s. And you thought about it, and you're like, maybe, like, something like leatherworking. Like, I really like leather goods and, you know, craftsmanship, because, like, you know, Rich used to smoke, and he really liked lighters and, like, you know, pipes, like, you know, like, not antique, but, like, really crafted.
I like, like, yeah.
Like, things that people put time and work into.
Yeah.
Handmade.
Yeah, like, and I rolled my own cigarettes partly for that reason. Like, oh, you know, there's, like a lost tradition type thing to certain things.
And, you know, like, he does the old-fashioned, like, cutthroat shaving, you know, like, you know, you like all the handmade soaps. Like, he really appreciates handmade, you know, small businesses, people that put an effort into their craft, not just stuff that's mass-produced, you know, at a factory
and
somewhere.
It's not a fashionable disagreement with that. Like, I don't have anything against.
You just appreciate it.
Yeah, I just think that I like the what's required, you know, what's gone into it, really.
Yeah, so as a punt for Christmas, I got him, like, a leather working toolkit. Like, I have no idea what the tools are, but it just had, like, 60-odd pieces of like, leather stamps and, like, things for sewing leather and things for, like, carving leather and all kinds of stuff. And I got him some scrap leather and a book on it. I thought, well, I hope he likes this. And I was really worried that you wouldn't, actually. And now it's, like, all he's been doing for a week. Like, you had to start learning about it, realize that you needed a couple more tools. The kind of leather I bought you wasn't quite right for what you wanted to try. So there's been just, like, leather deliveries coming to the house. Like, we've just become, I don't know if it's lockdown, but we've become these weird people. Like, yesterday our kitchen was a mess because Rich is sitting at the bar doing leather working, banging the house down, stamping leather. It smells weird because I'm melting wax to make candles for a candle making kit I got for Christmas. And then we're having pots and plants delivered because we've become houseplant people. Like,
so there may be a long distance to marriage shop soon with candles and leather goods.
Yeah. But yeah, like, yeah, it's funny. It's all he's talking about. And I'm acting a bit annoyed. Like, literally, I don't think you've talked about anything.
I'm dreaming about it.
He's dreaming about leather. He's found, like, a YouTube channel, and the guy is the Bob Ross of leather working. And as much as I like to tease him about it and, like, say, like, oh, would you just shut up about leather? Like, oh my God, you've become, like, obsessed with it. You're, like, this idiot savant with it. Like, he's making beautiful things already. Like, you know, just simple stuff to start with. But, like, it makes me genuinely happy to see him creating something with his hands. It's a great escape, like, to just sit there and, you know, create something and forget about the world for a few minutes.
Like, hours.
Yeah, like, literally, we had breakfast and watched an episode of TV yesterday morning, and I think you started leather working at, like, 9:30 or 10, and then it was, like, 4 o'clock. I'd gone out for a walk and taken pictures, because I've gotten back into photography recently, which is, you know, something that I enjoy and you love seeing me do. And, like, I came back, I made lunch, I took a shower, like, I had done all these things, I made candles, and he's still fucking sat in the same place at the bar, pounding the shit out of leather and cutting leather. And I'm like, we have date night tonight. Like, we need to go to the store and we need to, like, take the dogs out for another walk. And, like, you know, drop some stuff at your mum's. And you looked up, like, with glazed eyes, just, like, leather stamps in your eyes. Like, oh, okay. And then we got home and we're making sushi. Like, the kitchen is a mess. We're making sushi for a really fun date night. And you're like, I want a leather really bad. I'm like, okay, you can literally do it all day tomorrow, which is why we've got up and done podcast stuff like really early today.
So I've already been doing it this morning.
He got up at 7:30. He was supposed to go, before 7:30, he was supposed to go for a run this morning, use the fact that it's pretty frosty out there.
It's sub-zero.
Yeah. It's
it like, looks dangerous.
It's like 29 degrees Fahrenheit out there.
Yeah.
And it's frosty. But I mean, the road looks fine. You could have gone for a run. But anyways, I come downstairs and I find him working on leather. I think you refrained from stamping, though, which was kind.
I thought, as you're asleep, I won't stamp.
Yeah.
Or chisel. But yeah, I was just, you know, cutting out a little pouch. But the point is,
it's good to have hobbies.
It's good to have hobbies, but there's a couple of things in that. One, it's just given us a great anecdote to talk about there. It gave, you know, you doing this candle thing is very new. That was a Christmas gift for you as well.
And I wanted it. I've always wanted to try it.
So it gave us something to do yesterday, separately but kind of together.
Yeah, we're both in the kitchen, space. Yeah.
It gives us stuff to talk about, something new to do together. And you know what? It beats the hell out of us just sitting on the couch again, just like scrolling through Facebook.
Or binging Netflix.
You know, or
which
just,
we do that as well. Like,
yeah, we do. We then spent the evening watching a film.
Well, yeah, yesterday was my favourite night. So we made sushi for the first time, which was super fun. I'll do a post about it soon. And, you know, we had dinner. It was like this great day of just like creating stuff, you know, candles, pictures, leather goods, making food together, which was super fun. And then we sat down to watch a movie, and it was a movie I picked, so it wasn't one you were incredibly, like, interested in. He was literally looking there, like, at leather stuff, and at the end, like, I was into the movie, like, I hardly picked up my phone. I don't think I even picked up my phone once. I was into the movie, I haven't watched it in years. One of my favorites. Never Been Kissed, in case you're wondering. We're doing a 90s movie theme for
January,
so I picked Never Been Kissed, just snuck it in at 99. And you were on your phone, but a lot of times you'll play your pool game,
snooker
or whatever, like video game on your phone when you're not into a movie. And I look over and he was pretty quiet, didn't complain the entire movie about how shit it was, which is very unusual. And he's like, I'm like, did you enjoy that better this time? And he's like, I have to admit, I was looking at leather stuff and I've spent like, not an obscene amount of money, but a fair amount of money in like 2 hours during this film, just ordering leather stuff. And it's like,
I needed number and letter stamps. And leather.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, from, you know, if you're early on in your relationship and you're feeling a bit picked on, like, oh my god, like, we do talk to each other all the time and da-da-da-da, like, it's not the end of the world if you do, but, like, just know that it's not always, we did it, like, but just know it's not always going to be the way, because, like, at this end of it, like, 10 years almost into marriage, and what, like, 11, 12 years into a proper relationship, you know, and 16, 17 years of knowing each other and caring about each other, like, it's kind of nice when your partner finds a new hobby, because then you think, like, oh my god, I can go and do all these things I like to do now.
Yeah, and look, like I said before, there's honeymoon periods, and it's just about expectations. If you're sitting there saying, oh, look, you know, we got lockdown and pandemics, let's make the most of this and talk as much as we can, like, that's great, you know, knock yourself out, and then you'll say, look, and then when things are back to normal, we know we're not going to have this opportunity again. That's very different to, you know, cultivating or having certain dependencies. And the other thing is, you know, you'll notice when you tease me about it a little bit, but we actively encourage each other to have hobbies and do things, and neither one of us say, you can't do that. What about me? You know, so that's something I think you need to look for and strive for. If your partner's not doing that, and they are saying, well, you can't be doing that, you know, you need to spend time with me, they can say that occasionally. Like, you might say that you've been doing that all day.
Yeah, it's like last night.
It's not that you
never
want
to
spend time together. But,
yeah.
But it's, you need someone who encourages you to be you, not discourages it or tries to change that. You know, that's very toxic. So make sure you have that in your relationship. You have the space where you may not have the interest yet, but you need to know you've got the space to, if an interest comes along, you're free to pursue it without it being like aggravation.
Yeah.
And equally, you need to be encouraging that. And I don't mean forcing it. I don't come to you and say, why don't you do boxing? Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to be like, it's not about what I want to see in you, but it's, you know, like I said, it was there very early on for us. It was, oh, you know what? How come you don't read too many pictures anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I don't force you. You know what? I don't really care anymore.
But it's always coming from it's not coming from a place for you wanting more time to do your things. It's like, you know, there's been times when I've been really low. You know, I've left my family, I've left my friends. You know, for a while I wasn't in a job that I enjoyed, and I felt pretty like my life is, apart from a really happy and good marriage, my life is kind of meh. You know, just like
meh.
Yeah, meh. And you know, so Rich would be like, well, why don't you join a club? Or why don't you get your camera out and go take some pictures? Or why don't you write, you know, start a book or a novel or pick up one that you've started in the past? Like, it's never from it should never be from a perspective of like, oh my God, go do something, you're annoying me. No. Or, you know, I really want more time to see my guy friends, so can you go do something? Like, it's more like encouraging it to make you a happier and better, more fulfilled person. And, you know,
I don't think, you know, when you, and I've been, this is from experience to me. If I have those periods of time where I'm feeling very, like, I can't bother to do anything, and I spend all my time sort of sitting down scrolling on social media, like, very, very quickly, that makes me very unhappy.
Yeah.
And unmotivated and kind of sluggish. And for me, I feel best when I'm productive or if I've got my creative outlets, and I could be wrong, but I generalize that to assume that's true for most people. You know, I know when you're not writing or doing poetry or taking pictures or
journaling,
whatever it, yeah, whatever it is,
yeah,
there's a difference in you,
yeah,
to when, you know, you'll do the same thing that I'm doing with the leathering now, which is like, you'll talk my ear off about this camera or what you're
showing
on
you
the
pictures,
wall, or,
yeah.
And I, you know, so I am a huge advocate of people, it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, there's loads of things I would like to be good at, but I'm not. The other people, that's their thing.
And
like,
it's
it doesn't matter what it is, but I think everyone has something. It could be that you code. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be off a computer. It doesn't have to be.
You could do digital drawing. Like, a friend of mine that I work with, he's taking like a digital drawing class, so he's learning to do art like on a tablet, like a smart tablet.
Yeah,
like,
a friend of mine does that too. And your thing could just be walking. It could be playing darts. It could be anything in the world, but it's your thing. Your
yeah.
escape from stuff.
And you have to have that, you know? Like, your relationship should be a huge part of your life. You know, we always encourage you guys to prioritize your relationship, to be intentional in your partnerships. But we have also always said that if you're investing in yourself first, you can give so much more to that partnership and that relationship.
Yeah.
So yesterday, like, we spent time together in the morning. We had breakfast together. We had our coffee. We chatted. We watched an episode of something that we like to watch together. I went off and got ready and went for my walk. Rich was doing his leather. As you know, that's all he did. I don't even know if he went to the toilet yesterday.
I did.
Okay, good. And
I didn't drink much, though. I looked
like,
up, it was like 4 o'clock.
Time.
I was like, I haven't had anything to drink today.
You know, and then, yeah, then I was in there making candles. So it was like the perfect combination of time together and time apart and doing the things we were. And like in the evening, after we had like made sushi and walked the dogs and stuff, like I've learned, especially during lockdown, that I needed to do like three things or a few things in a day to feel really good. One is to get outdoors, be in the fresh air. One is to take photos or create something, you know, anything. I need to create something to read. But those are three things I need to do daily to feel really good about myself. Like getting outdoors / exercising, you know, something that gets endorphins going. And I did all of those yesterday. I created loads of stuff, candles, pictures. I read. We made food together. And like in the evening, I actually had this moment. I didn't say anything to you because the film was on. Like, I actually felt a little bit drunk. I hadn't had any alcohol, but I just had that like really giddy, bubbly, like, this is so fun. Like, I felt a little bit overwhelmed by my senses. And like, I really invested in the day. And
it gives us a stronger, you know, you said yesterday about how it's kind of amazing that even after, like, you know, a full decade of marriage, we're still really happy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a big part of that is we're still us
too. And we're still growing as individuals.
Yeah, and it's, you know, one of my favourite quotes at the minute is, you can be selfish to be selfless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you put it in the parenting context. We don't know this from experience, but, you know, one of the things we hear from people like Tony and Lisa from One Extraordinary Marriage, who've joined us a couple of times, they say, you know, to be the best parent and to have the best structure for your kids, you need to put the marriage first. And the mistake a lot of parents make is putting the kids first. They say, you know, if you're a unit as parents, if you're happy together, if your marriage is really strong, then the kids will benefit from that. And I think the same is true in a relationship, where if you can put yourself first in certain areas to make you a happier person and a better person and better company.
A healthier person.
That's going to transfer in all sorts of ways. Now, I don't mean selfish in the sense of I'm spending all my time with my friends. I'm going to be out and do whatever I want and you just
I'm
have to deal with it.
I'm gaming all day.
Yeah, it's not about being selfish in just... It's not selfish in doing the things that you just want to do to the exclusion of anything else. It's selfish in the sense of what makes me the best me. Mm-hmm. It's like you just said, you need to do three things. Well, if you do those three things and they make you happier and drunk with excitement by the end of the day, I benefit from that.
Yeah.
The marriage benefits from that. You know, so think about what that is for you. And yeah, health is a really important one. If you are selfish in the sense that you said, you know, it's important for me to be healthy, that means you're probably, well, you're not necessarily probably, but you're giving yourself the best chance of living longer, of not having as much illness, of just generally being healthier. That's going to benefit everybody around you, because one, they're not going to be having the stress and worry of like, you know, oh my God, are you going to pull through? Are you feeling okay? And you died young. But you're also going to be more physically capable. You know, if you've got kids and you've got the fitness to keep up with them and play with them, they're going to benefit from that. So selfish doesn't have to be a negative thing. It's you work on yourself, and then, you know, like a rising tide lifts all boats,
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, so if you work on you, everyone around you benefits from that. So yeah, you can be selfish to be selfless, and I think it's important that everyone is.
Yeah, and this isn't to say that you should, you know, getting back to the topic, we've kind of derailed, but it all comes back to, you know, not having to be in constant contact with each other. If you know, you from the beginning start to maybe see, like Rich said earlier, like, oh, I'm kind of getting like almost obsessive about talking to this person. Maybe I need to put some boundaries in. You can still prioritize talking to that person. If you're long distance, you have to sustain it. You know, we're not saying don't talk to each other and don't prioritize it. But it might mean, okay, with our time difference, if you have one, or with our work schedules, we can talk for half an hour in the morning and then 2 hours in the evening. Okay, so that means that, you know what, as soon as I get home from work, I'm going to do that thing that I love before we talk. That might mean I'm going to lace up my tennis shoes and go for a run. It might mean I'm going to go shopping with my best friends.
Why would they not be wearing running shoes if they're running?
Americans, we call them tennis shoes, like trainers. It's just an umbrella term. Tennies. It might mean I'm going to paint. I'm going to take my dog for a walk. Whatever it is, like, you can frame these things that you want to do for yourself around talking to that person, but it still means that you're doing that. It might be an hour every day where you do any of those. You're like, I have an hour myself. I'm going to take a long bath today. Tomorrow I'm going to meet my girlfriend for a drink. Mm. Day after that, I'm going shopping with my mom. Like, just give yourself a time that is for you and others in your life, apart from this person that you're, you know, involved with. It's fine if you prioritize those times talking, but you have to invest in you. Like, there's just no buts about it. Like, I know from a fact that, like Rich said, when I am drunk on happiness and positivity, I am a better wife. I am kinder. I prioritize.
You're more affectionate too.
Yeah. You feel better. Like, of course, everything else is going to benefit from that.
Well, and also on the, just a kind of final point on this, like, it's nice to talk to each other, obviously, but in the future, you won't remember all those conversations. You remember that you spoke a lot, but you won't remember what was said. You know, if you think instead, we'll put it in the context of, you know, I'm making physical goods now, you've been making candles and writing poetry and taking pictures. I mean, if you do something and you give them a gift that you've made, that will truly last forever. So if you're like, oh, you know what, this week I'm not around as much, you'll still talk, but you know, you make time for you and you work on doing something for them as a result of whatever your hobby is, they will cherish that much more than having that extra time talking to you that week.
An extra note on this, when we were apart, like, if you guys have listened to our story, you know that after we met and then before we closed the distance, like, I really, really struggled. My mental health tanked, you know, I couldn't cope with it. And my mom said, I was living at home, she said, you need a project, you need something to throw yourself into. And I had done sewing class as a kid with my mom, and my mom makes beautiful, beautiful quilts, you know, homemade from scratch. She cuts all the fabric, everything. And she said, actually, you know what? I joined this group and I never made the quilt. And it's really like Japanese dragon kind of style. I've got all the parts. Like, maybe you should make that for Rich. Like, he'd love that because you really enjoy, like, Japanese
culture. We can put a picture up on our Instagram.
You love Japanese culture. You're very interested in, you know, like, the martial arts and foods and stuff. Hence our sushi night last night.
That was more you than me.
Yeah, I know, but you enjoy it too. Mm. So my mom helped me cut the pieces out. And then, like, I spent a couple weeks, this was kind of in the months leading up to me coming back for Christmas after we'd been apart. And I made this quilt. And it was like, it didn't fix everything, but it gave me a few hours each day where I was concentrating on lining up pieces, you know, sewing, stitching, cutting more fabric, like, talking to my mom about, oh, how do I do this part? Like, it really, really gave me an escape from kind of mental torment of, are we going to be able to work this out? Like, how is this all going to work? Da, da, da. And at the end of it, I had a beautiful, beautiful gift to give to you. And it wasn't something that really you were just saying, like, if they're busy doing something, you don't have to talk to them. You're going to be happy to get what you get. You know, our time difference was so wacky that I didn't have to, you know, sacrifice talking to you. But I think you knew I was working on something for you, maybe.
I think, yeah, but I didn't know what.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, apart from just making yourself a better version of you and investing for the future you, in the moment, if you're really struggling with the distance, or even if you guys are just arguing about something that isn't, like, a deal breaker, like, you know, you're going to argue and disagree about stuff. You're going to have rough patches. It doesn't mean you're a bad couple or you shouldn't be together, but it can make things difficult. Having something either creative or just distracting, you know, to throw yourself into can be really therapeutic. Like, maybe you don't sew, maybe you don't draw, maybe you don't code. Like, if you don't think you're a creative person, you can still enjoy reading. You can still do painting by numbers. You can still, you know, maybe even find a video game. Like, you know, I like video games. I think gaming's great. If it becomes your main hobby, it can be a bit isolating and, you know, you can't really do that with many people unless you're online. But even something like that, like, you don't have to be like an artist to, I don't consider myself an artist, but, like, anyone can pick up a camera and learn how to use it. Like, find something, because it can really help you in those really down, difficult times, which there will be when you're long distance.
I think that probably,
I feel like we kind of derailed a little bit. Sorry. We're just preaching now, and telling you about,
I don't think we do our obsessions. We're talking about, you know, examples of what we do.
Yeah.
Just work on you. And it will benefit the relationship.
Yeah.
It's just about finding the balance to have both and not make your relationship your identity.
Yeah. And also, you know what? Listen to your friends, because they're the ones that are going to go, like, hey, we haven't been out in forever. Or if you have friends that you do creative things, maybe you make music with a friend. Maybe you go to painting classes with a friend. I mean, obviously that's a bit shit right now and difficult with COVID. But when your friends have to say, like, hey, we haven't seen much of you lately, or you seem a bit different, like, your friends are going to be the ones that tell you and maybe even notice that something's up because you're kind of obsessed with this relationship before you even realize.
Mm.
So don't forget about your friends, because if the worst does happen and the relationship doesn't work out, you're going to want your friends, and they'd want you if they needed you while you're all distracted with all this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Until next week.
Yeah. Have a good week, guys. Bye.